Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Hour numero tres of the Rob Brown Show gets underway right now, the midweek edition. Carrying you all the way up till 10 a.m. this and every weekday morning. My name is Rob Brown, which is convenient because if it wasn't, it'd be a weird name for the show. On the other side of the metaphorical glass, the guy in charge of this and every radio program you've ever listened to anywhere at any time on any radio station, the great one Lonzo is here as well. And you're welcome, America. We now, via the technology of the modern era, on video in living color, and in your ear holes if you're listening on the radio. He is the host of College Football Overtime on Sirius XM Radio. He is the illustrious Denton Day joining us here on the show. What's up, big dog?
Fellas, we are almost at national championship time. We got two great games this week, but we are almost at national championship time. And it's NFL playoff time. Best time of the year.
Do not disagree at all. It's this spot, Denton Day, where on one hand, I'm jacked about the semis. I'm jacked about a natty. It's the best night of the sports calendar. On the flip side, I'm real sad because we are about to enter our 200-plus day college football hibernation, which just means, like, soak it in, baby. Soak it in.
You know, you got to enjoy the ride. I mean, the nice part about these extended playoffs is that the absence of college football is now much shorter. Because really, the national championship in most years was played 2 days ago.
It is true.
And now we get another 2 weeks of it. So I'm with you. I'm enjoying this ride. And I know that window is shrinking. Plus, then we get the silly season, the transfer portal stuff, which that seems to never stop. So we'll have content. There's no doubt about that.
Always with the hashtag content. Denton Day joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Off Say. All right, before we get into the semifinals, I want to throw something at you. We talked a little bit about this on this show on Monday. Cody Decker, my Saturday co-host on Bet for the Cycle, which airs every Saturday from noon to 4 on the BetQL Network, hashtag shameless self-promotion. Cody Decker said that this playoff has been kind of a bummer, kind of a dud, kind of a letdown. He pointed out the four blowouts in round number one. He pointed out that at best you could argue that two games in round two, Georgia-Notre Dame and Texas-Arizona State, were in any way, shape, or form worth watching. And then he pointed out that he feels like the Texas-Arizona State game was ruined by the non-targeting call to the point of not being able to enjoy it because he thought it was a fraud. Cody Decker is out on the 12-team playoff format. Now, he did not clarify if he wants to go to 16, down to 8, or just he's out entirely. Where we stand now with three games left to play, what's your overall opinion on this bracket? Do we have the right format, or do we need to tinker a little bit?
I mean, you have the right number of teams. I don't know what Cody in particular was expecting. It sounded like he was just getting mad at everything. I mean, was he going to get mad at the weather in certain games too? I mean, there was a lot there. If you thought this was going to be March Madness in its first year, that's on you. You should have listened to anybody smart. You, Rob, me, anyone was going to tell you this was not going to be something that is just filled with upsets immediately. It was never designed to be that. It was designed to, over the course of time, potentially get there and level the playing field out a little bit. But if you thought that there were going to be massive upsets or every game was going to be great, you've never watched the college football playoff, period. Even when there's four teams, there's never been great games, because the simple fact of this sport is, as great as it is, its biggest flaw, so to speak, is that there's a very big difference between the haves in the sport and the have-nots. Now, what we have seen is that Arizona State game, I thought that was a perfect amalgamation of what you want this to be, because that's a team that nobody had heard of, led by a player that nobody knew, and most people now think his name is funny because Scataboo is a fun thing to say, taking it to one of the most well-renowned programs in the history of the sport. The targeting call sucked, and I understand if you want to be upset about that, especially if you're an Arizona State fan, but then you also had opportunities to win that game in overtime and failed to do so. And we got an overtime thriller in a college football playoff game. I think it's been exactly what I expected, and I never thought I might have thought that SMU had a chance against Penn State. However, outside of that, I never thought that this was going to be filled with upsets yet. You got to give it some time. It'll get there eventually, but it's not there yet.
It's interesting to me. You know, we came into this thing and I said, I think 16 is probably too many. I think there's a handful of years that you could argue the best team in college football would have been ranked 5 through 8. I mean, here we are sitting here with seeds 5, 6, 7, and 8 are the four teams that have moved on. I think like maybe lottery pick somewhere you could say, oh, the 9th team would have made it competitive. The problem, Denton Day, is I think we learned the buys maybe aren't as positive as we thought they were. All four teams that had to sit out 3 weeks coming off that bye week got beat in round number 2, which means that if you want to eliminate them, if you want to, and they may not want to, if you want to, you either got to go back down to 8 or you got to go up to 16. And after what we saw, I think going to 16 would just be a mistake at this point.
16 is too many teams. I mean, I could argue that, like, I could argue 12 might be too many. I like the 12 format. My thought was always 8, because there has never been a year, Rob, where there has been more than 5, 6, or 7 teams that you can look at and say, that's a championship contending team. There just isn't. I think the bye situation you're dead on with. What they need to do is kind of shorten the amount of time between conference championship and round one. Because what happened was Oregon went nearly a calendar month without playing football. Like, think of that. You go a calendar month without playing football, and then who do you start with? Ohio State. This dominant defense. And that to me, like, the Rose Bowl to me was the national championship. I think Ohio State's going to end up running the table here. But going a month without playing football, I don't care how hard you practice, and there are rules around how hard in college you're allowed to, because, again, they are student, wink, wink, athletes. So you can't do certain things. They're not professionals. There's nothing you can do in practice to simulate a game time speed against Ohio State. Or if you're Georgia, there's nothing you can do to simulate a game time speed against Notre Dame or whoever it was, Boise against Penn State, you name it. So that they need to shorten. If you shorten the distance between conference championship and the first round, then you leave it and make it a little easier for the teams coming off of a bye to then play. And then, like, we have 10 days in certain instances between the first round and the second round. Like, there are little things that you can shorten up to make it easier on teams with buys to then make buys more beneficial. Because what you're going to see if they don't make any adjustments is teams are going to be ducking the buy. I can't blame them.
And that was my thought. Like, for all the conversation about conference championship games and all that, I kind of think at this point, like, and I think Oregon Penn State right out of the gate served as the example. If we could, knowing what we know now, obviously hindsight being 2020, Denton Day, if I went and told the Ducks, hey, if you lose the Big Ten championship game, you're going to get SMU in round one, Boise State in round two, and Notre Dame coming off of a game where they get into a fistfight with Georgia in round three, yeah, you got to play one more game. I think they would have happily flipped with Penn State in that spot. And so my question is, if you end up in a spot where, you know, the SEC has a conference championship game with 2 1-loss teams or an undefeated and 1-loss, the Big Ten, the same situation, why would I want to win that game? Why would I try to win that game if I'm watching and the 6th seed has an easier path? And it looks like that might just be the way it works out, where the 6th seed is always going to have an easier path to the title than the 1 seed. Why would I want to win that thing?
Exactly. There's no incentive to do that, because on top of that, you then miss out on a home game. And, you know, these teams get paid out depending on how far their conferences go, and that's all good and dandy. But the gates at the home games, those are yours. Like, Ohio State isn't giving Michigan any of the money that they made when their stadium was filled for that Tennessee game. You keep all that money, so you're potentially really hurting your team in the quest for a championship, and then you're missing out on millions of dollars that you would get from having a home game. There's no incentive to take the bye right now. That needs to be adjusted as we move forward if we're going to keep this model, because what you can't have, like, I'm pleading the college football playoff, Rob, to be ahead of this, so what we do not have is teams then deciding to play me at quarterback in a conference championship game because they don't want to win.
We are talking to Denton Day, the host of College Football Overtime on Sirius XM. Joins us on Wednesdays, ordinarily at 7:40, but he had some super top secret international man of mystery stuff he had to deal with this morning. So joining us here in this segment, let's dive into Denton Day, the semifinal games upcoming, and we will start with the one that I think is, at least right now, the more interesting of the two games, which is Penn State and Notre Dame. There's something jumped off at me, and I went and looked last night and found somebody who did a great write-up of it. Notre Dame plays man-to-man press defense at an almost 60% clip. It is one of, if not the highest, in FBS football. Drew Aller's efficiency against man-to-man press drops exponentially compared to throwing the ball against the zone. Is it bananas that that one stat alone has me thinking Notre Dame's the right pick here?
Not bananas, no, because that's a relevant stat. You know, the Drew Aller has struggled in tight man coverage. He's not used to throwing into tight windows. He's much more comfortable when there is a little bit of wiggle room, if you will, to get the ball to his receivers. And his receivers, outside of Warren, are not exactly great at separation. What I think Penn State has that Notre Dame is going to find very difficult is the running game. And getting to use Drew Aller in the running game, they might be able to hit Notre Dame with a little bit of their own medicine. The difference is that Katron Allen and Nick Singleton are maybe they're the second best running back duo in the country to Ohio State's Henderson and Judkins. But those two guys in particular, with Singleton and Allen, they could make Notre Dame's life on defense very, very difficult for 60 minutes.
Denton Day joining us here on the show. It's a weird spot, because I'm also looking at Riley Leonard and what he can do with the legs. And, you know, Penn State has so far, Denton Day, in my opinion, Penn State has pinned the ears back and gotten after guys. They got after Kevin Jennings in round one. They got after Ashton Jante. And I had somebody text the show go, oh, we got 103. Right. Yeah, it took him 30 carries. I mean, it took the majority of Boise State's plays to get him.
They were stat padding at the end, too.
100%. So they were getting after Ashton Jante in this game. I think they're going to pin the ears back and get after Notre Dame. I just think Notre Dame has more talent spread around more evenly. And Riley Leonard, though he doesn't necessarily want to, can take off and get out of the pocket if he needs to. I don't think Penn State can be as aggressive defensively as they've been in the two games leading up to this. And if that's the case, that's what's been winning Penn State football games. I'm worried about that.
I think they are going to be aggressive, though. I think they're going to be aggressive at Riley Leonard. The thing that Penn State needs to do, Rob, that's going to really stifle what Notre Dame wants to do is get a lead. You get a lead early, and you stay that lead early, and you get to the third quarter, and let's just say even if it's only 7 points, 10 points, can Riley Leonard throw it? Because he didn't have 100 yards against Georgia. He's not exactly your sling it around the yard kind of quarterback in an era of college football where we are very used to guys slinging it around the yard. So what happens in the event where Penn State does get after Riley Leonard at Notre Dame, and then all of a sudden he has to throw it because the run game isn't being as effective? And, you know, I'm hoping that Jeremiah Love is going to be good to go. I'm not 100% sure whether he will or not. That's going to hurt Notre Dame's rushing offense as well. If Riley Leonard can't throw the football, which he hasn't really proven against good teams that he can effectively, Notre Dame's going to be in a lot of trouble. So they need to do everything in their power to make sure Penn State doesn't jump out to a lead.
Let's talk about the other one. We got the Texas Longhorns, the Ohio State Buckeyes. I am all over the Buckeyes in this one. And it's not just because they've been steamrolling everybody in these playoffs. It's not just because Will Howard is on the You America tour right now because the haters were hating loud and Will Howard stepping up. On top of all that, dude, I don't believe in Quinn Ewers at all. I think Quinn Ewers is the most overhyped college football player we've seen in a long time. I think he's good Denton Day. I don't think he's compare with really anybody that's won a title good before. Texas has provided him with elite weapons all over the field, and Quinn Ewers has been good enough. And I don't think he's out-dueling Will Howard, at least not the playoff. He's like playoff P, the way that Will Howard has turned it on at this point.
Do you think – so is what you're telling me is that you don't think Quinn Ewers is worth $6 million?
Yeah, I don't think Quinn Ewers ought to be driving a Lambo is all I'm saying.
No, I mean, this one is – I think there's a lot of people that are in the same boat as you, Rob, and I'm in the same boat. I got Ohio State when that lined open at 4.5, and now it's like 7. And I was like, I can't believe that a Vegas line maker put that thing out at 4.5. It was one of the very rare times, Rob, where I was like, I got one on Vegas. Because we know those buildings were not made with good luck. So I like Ohio State in this one, but I do think I think the public is going to be way too on Ohio State for my liking. So I think I'm going to have myself a nice little sandwich and get like Texas 6.5 or 7, Ohio State 4.5. The Buckeyes defense is really like you focus on the Will Howard tour. And I think you're right. Cause that second touchdown to Emeka Mbuka was a dime.
Yep.
I was like, where has this Will Howard been? But really what I learned from that game against Oregon, it was really validation. Their defense is the best since those Georgia teams. They are so, so good. And they are so good everywhere. And they showed a graphic up while watching the Rose Bowl that I thought really hammered this home. In an era of college football where there's so much jumping around and guys leaving and going to different directions, Ohio State's defense is filled with guys that has been there for years. Like they got dudes that have been in that program for 3, 4, 5 years. And when you can have that and guys who are good at and have been in the program for 3, 4, 5 years, understanding exactly what your role is, what the framework of the defense is and how I play into it, that's why they've been so good. There's been one team that scored 3 touchdowns on Ohio State. It was Oregon. They did it twice, but one of them was garbage time. One of the touchdowns was garbage time. Obviously, they beat Ohio State earlier in the season, but nobody else has had offensive success against Ohio State. Now, I do trust Sark. I think Sark is the best offensive play caller in college football, and you want to talk about exciting. Sark versus Jim Knowles, the Ohio State defensive coordinator. Sign me up for 60 minutes of that. I think that's going to be technician versus technician. But there's no way that I look at what Texas did against Arizona State and could feel thrilled with them walking into to play the Buckeyes, who did what they just did to Oregon.
I've watched the last handful of minutes of that Arizona State-Texas game a number of times. And listen, I got a lot of respect for Arizona State. I think you and I talked about this last week. That team has not gotten the credit that they deserved. Mm-hmm. Cam Scataboo is like a 1970s running back transported to 2024. Fun to watch play. That's all well and good. I'm not this guy when it comes to analysis, Denton Day. But in this case, I will be. The Sun Devils just ain't what Ohio State is right now. And if that's the fight you had to fight through to get to overtime with Arizona State. And by the way, and again, the targeting thing, and I'll ask you about that before we let you go here in a second. That targeting gets called targeting. Arizona State wins that game. We're not having this conversation today. That's enough for me to say Buckeyes. And if I can get them in. By the way, if I took them at the 5.5 when they were there, they're floating at -6 on BetMGM. I've encouraged people, get them before it goes to 7.5 because I think it is.
It'll get there. It'll definitely get there to 7, 7.5.
All right, let's talk real quick because we got about a minute left. That targeting call. Let me tell you where I'm at, and then you call me a lunatic, call me a loser, or justify me, Denton Day. I understand why they didn't call it targeting, and I don't think it's. I'm the first one. I'm the first one, as I did with Florida State, Alabama, to absolutely believe that there are conspiracy theories set up to make sure the SEC has a dog in the fight. That's what I believed happened with Alabama last year. I can understand the no targeting call there. Technically speaking, there was no crouch, there was no explosion, there was no attack, and that word attack is what I lean on. It was a form tackle that unfortunately ended up hitting the guy in the head. I can understand. I'm not saying I agree with it. I can understand why there was a no call in that spot.
I understand it. I'm with you. I don't agree with it. I think the defenseless thing should have resulted in that being targeting. What I definitely do not agree with is this not that you were saying this, but this mass conspiracy that led to the officials making that call. If you want to argue the Florida State Alabama thing, we can have that conversation. There might be something there. But the idea that there is this secret network of people that are making sure, like, this is, remember those Buffalo Wild Wings commercials back in the day where they're like, hey, we're having a great time. And they phone into a guy who puts the sprinkler up, guy trips on a go-ahead touchdown. This isn't that. That was a bad call. But I don't think it necessarily – it cost Arizona State an opportunity to win, and that stinks. It didn't cost them the game because they had more opportunities after that. Should that have been called? Absolutely. I think it was a defenseless receiver, head-to-head contact. That is the top priority when it comes to targeting. But I can understand why the official maybe did not call it, because they were looking at some of the things, like you mentioned, attacking and launching and crown of the helmet. Because I do think in all of the years that we've had targeting, it's become a little muddled because of crown of the helmet, attacking, and launching.
Which, I again, like, you can make the argument it was crown of the helmet. I don't think it was. I thought it was forehead. That's not crown, technically speaking. I did not see a crouch. He ran to and through the tackle the way that when I used to coach Little League football, I taught my kids to run through a tackle. You don't stop and pop. You put your sight on the target, right, and you run. I thought he did everything right. Unfortunately, homeboy caught the ball and kind of turned and dropped like a runner, and it's just unfortunate. That's where I landed on that whole thing. Denton Day is the host of College Football Overtime on Sirius XM. So you are going Penn State. You're going Ohio State.
Yep. I think we see a rematch of James Franklin's worst fear.
Ooh, let's get spicy. Somebody's narrative's getting busted. Denton Day hosts Sirius XM's College Football Overtime. You can find him on Twitter at the Denton Day. My man, you are phenomenal. Talk to you next week, brother.
Fellas, appreciate it.
Any and every time. My guy, Denton Day from SiriusXM's College Football Overtime. We are going to a – I was trying to make a time joke there. We're out of time!
For the segment.
The Rob Brown Show, the Fan Upstate.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Bit of a short segment here. So I want to play this. By the way, and I'll start with this by saying I want to say a congratulations to colleague, comrade, and off-air friend Nick Costas. Nick has been hosting a show called You Better You Bet on the BetQL network for many years now. Well, just a couple of weeks ago, You Better You Bet got picked up by and is now simulcast on Peacock by NBC. So Nick, who is obviously still doing the show for the BetQL network, is now simulcast on Peacock, which is awesome. We've had Nick on the show a number of times over the years. Nick is Nick's your classic New York City kind of sports fan, right? Like, he gets a little heated. Well, I've told you before, you can call it whatever you want to call it. I am somebody who appreciates validation, right? I appreciate validation. When I have a take, and then somebody doing a national show in the national spotlight echoes that take, I go, maybe I'm not a gigantic moron like I'm told I am very regularly, right? So I was scrolling around yesterday listening. As I've told you, I listen to as much as I can get my earballs on as often as I possibly can. Back on Monday, I told you I was real heated. And I believe that NFL rivalries are dead because the New Orleans Saints just kind of rolled over and let Mike Evans get his 1,000-yard mark, whereas I would have put six guys on him and stopped him. And a lot of you guys were like, hey, you absolute moron. Well, here's Nick Costas, nationally syndicated television and radio host. Pathetic! Nick Costas from the BetQL Network and on Peacock there with the take. Similar to the take. I feel like mine was angrier, though. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I had a little bit more intensity there than Nick did. No, again, it made me feel like rivalries are cooked.
You sounded more angry than you did.
Yeah, that was a joke. That was a joke. Costos anger in my life. I will never have Costos
anger. He's got some Mark Levin vibes to his anger. You know, just I think he always sounds a little bit angry.
Yeah, and he's got that kind of gravelly voice anyway. Yeah. And for the record, and I'll tell you this, and I don't mean to blow his cover, so I hope I'm not. I've done shows with Nick Costas before. I filled in on You Better You Bet for a number of times. I've done shows with Nick. You take Nick off the air, Nick's the nicest guy, dude. Like, I joined in on him at one point. We were talking. I was doing a show with him, I think, last, like in the fall of last year. And he showed up, and he had just finished up his arm sleeve tattoo, right? And I was asking him about it. And I was like, yeah, like, I've always wanted a sleeve tattoo, but, like, I got these chicken wing arms. I got these skinny-ass little arms. You can't have skinny little arms like mine and be cool with sleeves. And he goes, I got you. And, like, a minute later in my email, he sent me, like, he's a big workout guy, like, big gym guy. Sent me, like, his entire workout, all his diet plans. He's like, I mean, I looked at it, and I was like, damn, this is intense. He's like, yeah, I got you, dude. Like, I got you. Do this, and you will be able to rock a sleeve tattoo. It was fun. He's like the nicest guy. But the point is, yes to that take. Yes to that take. Why are you just letting this happen? Why are you just letting that guy flex on you like that? I despise it. I can't stand it. It made me sick. I agree. So, you know, just pure validation. Texas said, boy, that guy sounds about as mad as little Shane Beamer from the bowl game. Calm down, little guy. Woof. Woof. That's the kind of smack talk we're here for. All right, let's get into some more NFL as we get set for Wild Card Weekend here on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. Sorry, Super Wild Card Weekend. Sorry, Roger.
It's too late.
Super Wild Card Weekend. My bad, Roger.
You go get a memo.
As we wind down the college football season, as we wind down the National Football League season, that means one thing and one thing only. Hockey is metaphorically heating up. It's a hockey segue.
Yeah, and where's the horn, dude? I mean, you know.
I got to introduce.
Do I need to get the horn? Do I need it over here?
I got it. Okay, but I gotta set up our guest.
I'm gonna find my own horn because, you know.
Listen, a great alley oop is an art. All right, a great alley-oop.
I'm well aware of that. I alley-oop to you all the time.
Flipping the apple across the face and allowing Benetti to hit the one-timer through the back of the net. It's an art to that. But now I just got to jump right in. Ladies and gentlemen, the voice of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, the Upstate's hockey team, the legendary Mark Benetti joining us here on the Rob Brown Show. Benetti, you handsome devil, you. How the hell are you, buddy?
I'm doing fantastic. And you know, Rob, in some instances, it's great to see an awesome setup and a brilliant flourish of a pass. But every now and then, you just got to hammer down and go straight to the net. So, you know, certainly I know what you were trying to do, introducing the horn, introducing me. But, you know, sometimes you just got to crash the net. Good things happen.
So what he's saying is he was on my side as far as that goes. That's what I heard.
I mean, it's a good rivalry. It's a good rivalry. Mark Benetti joining us here on the show. Where are you right now, pal? Down in Orlando, an unfortunate OTL to the Solar Bears, and we'll talk about that here in just a minute. Are you on a bus right now?
No, I'm actually sitting in the lobby of a hotel in your favorite city in America.
The butthole of America, Jacksonville, Florida. Ladies and gentlemen, Benetti, I am so sorry. I hope that the hazard pay is worth it.
Listen, it could be worse. I could
not
be
much.
Anywhere else in this league that I have not really gotten along with over the 12 years I've been in it. So, you know, I certainly take this with a grain of salt over anything else.
Between you and me, because nobody else is listening, what's your least favorite place to have to go?
You know, back in the day, it used to be Brampton. The only redeeming quality about Brampton was they had Tim Hortons. But I did not necessarily like going there. Also, when I was with the Rapid City Rush and we'd go to Brampton, it was a 30-hour bus ride. So that probably didn't help my perception of it. But then like only 200 people would show up to the game. So it was certainly a unique time, no doubt about that.
I think I would have been sick a lot before I took a bunch of 30-hour bus rides.
It certainly built up character. I don't miss those days necessarily. I do miss the camaraderie that was created on those bus rides. Just a lot of stories swapped, and you know, obviously you get to see the scenic route of where you're going, but it certainly added a degree of difficulty to how we got around.
All right, let's talk a little bunny hockey here on the show with Mark Benetti, voice of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits. And I think to get to where we are now, we got to take a look back, Mark Benetti, because we missed you over the Christmas break. The end of 2024 was not kind to the Hoppers. They dropped five consecutive to round out the month of December, including a couple to Jacksonville at the Crib, couple of roadies as well there. Then we turned the calendar into January, started off the month of January with a couple of good ones, a win over Orlando, a good win over Jacksonville, 5-4. Where was this team at the end of December, and what caused that little bit of a trip up there, and what are we trying to change in January?
So the team was really banged up at the end of the month, and we're still technically pretty banged up. There was some illness passed around. It's that time of the year where everybody's got something. Because we're always together, you're passing it around. So it's one guy has this guy's got that. And so obviously it's not conducive to playing your best hockey because you're just not physically in your best shape. So that certainly hurt. Going into Savannah, the team played two guys shorthanded. Coming back from Savannah, they would play one shorthanded here and there. Game time decisions because of illness and stuff. So that certainly didn't help. I mean, at the end of the day, there are teams that still find ways to win. And it's not that the Swamp Rabbits team didn't compete. It's just everything that could have happened, happened at once. And so you're in a tight one on the road against Savannah prior to the holiday. You drop that one. 6-3 doesn't tell the whole story because it was a 2-0 Swamp Rabbits lead. They battled back to tie it at 3 and then two net front redirects, you know, seconds apart. That was all she wrote there. You come back, Jacksonville comes spirited. They've got a full lineup. They beat you 3-0 in a game where, again, the final score doesn't tell the story because it was a goaltending duel throughout. You then battle to a 2-2 tie in the third. Game two against Jacksonville. They eventually power through, win 5-2. The Norfolk Admirals come to town, one of the highest powered offenses in the league. A 2-0 lead. they find a way to score 7 in a row. They win 8-3, but then the Swamp Rabbits now start to get healthy. They get reinforcements. You get Caleb Lawrence. You get Quinn Olson. You make a trade for Chandler Romeo to shore up the back end. And all of a sudden, you're on a 3-game point streak. And it's because you're playing the right way and you're starting to get healthy, both through illness and through actual injury and whatnot. So, you know, the team's put together a heck of a road trip thus far. Yesterday, I think they deserved a better result, but you take a point when you can get it, especially at this time of the year. 2-1 the final last night in overtime, which is just a tale as old as time against Orlando, because even going back to the playoffs, 7 out of their last 11 games have gone past 60 minutes, and Orlando has won 6 of them. So, you know, it's unfortunate. It really is. But, you know, at the end of the day, that's a big point gained, and we still have yet to suffer a regulation loss in 2025.
This is one of those interesting spots, Benetti, that it can be hard to track, because you do have a ton of transactions. You've got guys coming and going from Ontario. You've got to make moves to fill that roster spot. Then you start to add in long-term injuries, guys like Ben Freeman, who's been dealing with that wrist, Max Coyle, who's been dealing with the foot, et cetera, et cetera. It makes for very interesting times for a guy like Kyle Mountain. How has, in your opinion, Mountain been about kind of keeping track, about trying to keep this roster together and on the same page to get through what I think might be the most difficult portion of the calendar for any lower-level professional hockey team?
I think he's done a phenomenal job, honestly, because and I think you look to the transaction that he made to bring Chandler Romeo in, the rookie defenseman, huge 6'6", 220-pound moose on the back end, swapping out Patrick Moynihan with the Idaho Steelheads. Obviously, Moynihan dished the puck out well. He was a half-wall guy on the power play, somebody with a ton of skill and tenacity. And, you know, you don't necessarily like giving up offense, but at the end of the day, he recognized that there was a need, that the team had to shore up the back end. And Chandler Romeo, I personally think, has done a phenomenal job through 3 games in his Swamp Rabbits tenure. And I'm excited to see him make his home debut this weekend when South Carolina and Savannah come to town. So I think he's done really well with it. And you know, also, too, it's the surprise factor of it. Not necessarily call-ups, but guys that are game-time decisions because they're not feeling well. Guys that get bumps and bruises because they're playing the toughest division in the league, and you always have to have your head on a swivel with, okay, can I trust this guy into the lineup? Can I swap this person here? How do I mix and match these combinations? Or how do you find talent to come on up and get a job done? And then I look to how he found Mason Imhoff from the SPHL's Fayetteville Marksman, and the guy has 5 points in his last 3 games, and he's on a line with Arvid Katteroff and Brent Peterson, and right now they're driving the bus for the Swamp Rabbits in 5-on-5 offense. So, you know, I think he's done a very good job with it. But again, you also realize, too, that you're playing in the toughest division in the league. There's no easy night, so no matter who you bring in, it's going to be a battle no matter what. But the team so far has risen to the challenge through 3 out of 4 games in the road trip, and they're going to anchor it tonight against Jacksonville.
Mark Benetti, voice of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Update. How much has, and I know we've talked about him before he got dinged up, but how much has the loss of El Capitan Ben Freeman impacted this team?
Well, it's certainly huge, because that's a physical presence. It's a vocal leader. It's also your number one draw man, right? He plays penalty kill. He plays net front power play. And it's a guy that just his presence out there does a whole bunch. But that's where, again, I look to a Miles Gendron and a Brent Peterson, 2 guys wearing the A's. And it's not just Ben Freeman being out here, Rob. You got to remember, Joe Leahy also wears an A, too. And he's been out for an extended period of time with an upper body injury as well. So a leadership load that normally falls on 4 guys on the ice now falls on 2. And Brent Peterson and Miles Gendron have done a heck of a job in leading this team and being more vocal and rising to that challenge. It's also leadership by committee, too. You've got guys leading by example in that room as well. You know, starting with Brent, he's got goals in 3 straight games, and he was brought into this team with a trade within the division and an extra partner in a 3-way swap for offense and for goal scoring. And the guy strung together his first 3-game goal streak of the year. He's responsible for getting the point last night in overtime because he tied it in the second period. But then you look to a Mason Imhoff, who has the opportunity in this league to now make an impact and be on a team and get an opportunity from the SPHL, and has 5 points in his last 3 games. He had 2 goals, 2 assists, and then a helper last night against Orlando. So you know, it's by committee. You see him stepping up. You see Colton Young starting to put together some offense. Dryden McKay stepping up between the pipes. Jacob Ingham putting together a couple of quality starts here. So, I mean, it's everybody's taking that onus of, all right, we're without the man wearing the big letter on his chest. So this is a team effort, and it all starts with us in the room.
We are talking to Mark Benetti, voice of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits. All right, let's take a look at what we got coming up, Benetti, because what a home weekend after this roadie wraps up this evening on the road at Jacksonville. We open it up on the 10th. The South Carolina Stingrays come over to renew the rivalry for Stick It to Cancer Night, which is, as somebody who, I lost my father to cancer when I was just 25, an incredibly important night, an incredibly special night, and a great way to spend a Friday at the Well.
Absolutely, Rob. You know, it's one of the most emotionally charged nights of the year. And this is such an insidious disease. And to the point that you just made, we all know somebody who knows somebody who's been affected by this disease. And so this is just our way to try and do our part in what seems to be an ongoing fight against cancer that I eventually do believe one day we're going to win it overall. And we're going to eradicate this thing. But we need everybody's help. We need the community to rally together. The team's going to wear lavender jerseys on Friday. They'll be auctioned off with proceeds benefiting the Bonsecours St. Francis Foundation. Throughout the entire night, we're going to recognize those who have fought and those who continue to fight this disease. And we'll also recognize survivors of it. And we'll honor the 10th anniversary of the St. Francis Cancer Center here in our community. So a lot of very emotional things going on that night. And it's one of those nights too, where we consistently say that we're a community partner before we're a hockey team. And it's one of those games where hockey does, yes, you want to win the game. You want 2 points. There's a lot of emotion, but sometimes you got to take a step back and realize there are bigger things that happen. And this is one of them.
Without a doubt. Then on Saturday evening, we got a two-gamer that starts off against the Savannah Ghost Pirates. And what a heck of a night, because country music superstar Chris Jansen going to perform an on-ice post-game concert that is included with the cost of the game ticket. I'm going to tell you right now, Mark Benetti, there ain't much I love more than a little hockey and a little country music on a Saturday night.
I'll tell you what, I've never seen anything like this before. I know a few hockey teams have done it previously in the American Hockey League and in the ECHL. I'm jacked for this one. I've been jacked up since we figured out we were going to do this night. And a special thanks to Chris Jansen for wanting to be a part of the event and want to be a part of the festivities. He's going to rock out after with his hits, Buy Me a Boat, Good Vibes, Fix a Drink, and his new top 30 hit, What You See Is What You Get. So I'm really excited for what he's going to bring after the game. Of course, the Swamp Rabbits have to bring the energy well before that, which I have no doubt that they'll do against the Savannah Ghost Pirates team, who they've bested the last 2 times they've had them at home. So exciting to see what that is going to bring into Bonsecours Wellness Arena. But that's going to be a tough 2 games against a team that's flirting with Atlanta right now for that last playoff spot. And look, still a little bit more than half the season to go here, Rob, but now we're going to start scoreboard watching, and this is where your head-to-head matchups in the division are critical. So 2 gigantic games coming up against Savannah.
Without a doubt, as it stands right now, looking at the standings across the South Division, Greenville currently checking in 10th points, 10th in points right now, just a handful back behind Orlando. It's going to be an interesting next couple of runs. Mark Benetti is the voice of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, kind enough to join us to talk a little local hockey on a Wednesday, my morning. My man, be safe. Get the hell out of Jacksonville ASAP, and we will see you at the Well Friday, big dog.
I'll most likely be departing at 10 o'clock tonight, so please pray for my soul as I continue this arduous path here. But nonetheless, should be a fun night. Try to close out this road trip and go 3-0-1-1.
Tell the boys not to take it to overtime, because, another 20 minutes in Jacksonville is 20 minutes too many in Jacksonville.
You know, I wish I had direct impact on decisions like that, but that's just the game of hockey sometimes. Look, they clawed from behind the other day to get that huge second point, so whatever it takes, Rob, I'm excited to see the showdown tonight.
Mark Benetti, voice of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits. You'll hear him on the action tonight and back on the mic at the Well on Friday night when the Rabbits make their return for Stick It to Cancer Night. Chris Jansen in the postgame concert on Saturday, and Benetti will be on the call. On the Sports Flash is the great one, Lonzo.
The The number one men's college basketball team took their first loss yesterday as Tennessee fell on the road at Florida 73-43. Volunteers shot just 21% from the floor and 4-29 from deep while being out-rebounded 55-38. The loss is the worst by a number one team in more than 50 years. Clemson Tiger basketball team fell further from the top 25 with a road loss to unranked Louisville last night 74-64. Brad Brownell said the environment rattled the Tigers, who shot 40% from the floor and 33% from deep. Clemson drops to 12-4. Is that good when your coach says that the team was rattled by the arena? Anyway, tune in tonight at 6:30 as the Furman Paladins take on the Citadel Bulldogs. It's Furman versus Citadel right here on your home for Furman Paladins basketball. It's us. It's right here. It is the Fan Upstate.